What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Bottom line, they're ass.
You showed better than that.
They have a white running back, for goodness sakes.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
What else?
What an exciting time.
I'm old. I am dying.
Get off my foot.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Golf. I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff. I feel like a total idiot.
Here he is, having the time of his life.
Should I go right? Should I go left? Damn it. How do I get in that little girl's toilet? Rocking you on a Friday? Why did I say that?
My son is an idiot.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
Nice to have you along for a Friday club.
Yes.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Hope you're having a nice little Friday.
Sorry, I'm watching this. Was that an Eagles touchdown or was he out?
I don't know. Ooh, both feet.
No, I think that's Tutty. All right.
Look at my Eagles.
Go Birds. All right. They look like ass so far, but Packers with two touchdowns called back because of penalties.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts and his line already having arguments. Game one.
If you thought there was a lot of penalties in that Ravens game, I'd give you this hunk of crap. Jeez. A lot of laundry on the field.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah. A little wheel route out of the backfield. My pack will pull it out. Yeah, Philly hates each other, you can tell. Sirianni.
They do. Nothing's changed.
He just looks like
hell. He
looks
terrible.
Yeah, he does.
Germany's a great city.
They are playing in the city of Germany.
Germany's a great city.
So the Hell's Angels story is a great one. Mm-hmm. I love it when the Hell's Angels get brought up. So there's this deal where in Aurora, Colorado, which is outside of Denver, apparently there's like this apartment complex. And there's so many code violations, they threatened to shut down the apartment complex. And all the people that were committing the violations were Venezuelan immigrants.
Yeah, and so there's a rumor going around that it was overrun by Venezuelan gangs. And, of course, Fox News jumped all over at that. And then anyone that lived in the building was like, well, no. The problem is that the landlords are slumlords. They've had other buildings shut down before. So now you got people that are rolling in there from, like, around the country harassing anyone that looks anyone with brown skin in this apartment complex. It's all hell's breaking loose. And then there was a rumor that, of course, the Hell's Angels are involved.
Yeah, so the building is called The Edge at the Lowry, which sounds delightful.
Turns
out apparently it's not.
It is not. There's bed bugs, there's sewage problems. It's a real asshole.
And there's a bunch of buildings that are concerning, but so then social media gets wind of this, and somebody, I don't know who started it, they post a video of the Hell's Angels, and they're riding their motorcycles.
That is what they do.
But that video was from 2023, and the caption was, they were heading to Aurora to violently attack the Venezuelan immigrants.
God, this is like, seriously, this is like the stupid idiots that showed up. Remember at the pizza parlor in New York? Because the QAnon folks thought that they had like kids, that traffic kids.
They were eating babies.
Eating babies
down
in the basement.
Right down there.
Yes.
Hillary's down there. They're all down there.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, the Hell's Angels, which I just love this part of the story, they had to release a statement.
Yes.
Apparently, they have PR. And the statement was as follows. A social media rumor claiming that the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club is headed to Aurora, Colorado to violently confront Venezuelan immigrants has gone viral. Most of these posts regurgitate this lie and attempt to validate it with a video of motorcycles riding an organized pack. We strongly deny the foundation and validity of these absolutely ridiculous and false claims. The Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club does not involve itself in political issues outside of motorcycling and takes no stance on the issue of immigration or the presidential election.
I like how formal that release is.
And I think it's funny that they found a way to corkscrew the election in there. Like,
yeah, like, whoa.
You know, we're not... We're not really for Trump.
Yeah, look, we'll beat some people. Maybe we got a racist past. You know, we like to deal a little meth and human trafficking. But you know what we won't do? We're not involving ourselves in a presidential
election.
No
endorsement here.
No.
Although I do love that they said, we do not involve ourselves in political issues outside of motorcycling.
Ah, yes. Because that.
So when that comes on the table, watch out.
Yeah, they'll stomp a mud hole in your ass over that. Do you really want... It's not arguably. Do you want the most famous and most violent biker gang of all time? Do you want them, like, supporting you? Like, if you're running...
I don't think it matters.
If you're running for mayor of Portland, and, like, the Gypsy Jokers are like, hey, Rene Gonzalez, you're our guy. Is that a good thing?
I don't think so. But I don't think it matters because I don't think anybody really listens to the Hells Angels. You know, other than Hells Angels. I don't know how
the
many...
The biker community... I don't know.
Maybe, but I think they all fight, don't they? Don't they all hate each other?
Yeah, they all...
So if the Hells Angels come out and say, hey, Kamala's our gal,
yeah,
then the other one's going to be like, well, Trump's our guy. And then they're going to fight to the death. I mean, I don't know. Who cares? I don't think it matters. But I think it's great that the Hells Angels...
Hey, they got 6,000 members, so you know what? That's 6,000 votes.
I accept that they don't get political.
Or 12,000 if they vote twice.
That's true. I've heard that they do that. Well, what they do is they take over buildings and then they vote twice.
Yeah.
Actually, once they take over the building, then it's like three times because, you know, it's what happens.
Can anybody just become a Hell's Angel?
No.
Oh, hell no.
I want to join them.
Do you ride a motorcycle?
No.
That's going to be a problem.
I play golf.
That's not going to work.
What if I get the vest and play golf?
Ooh, if you want to take an old-fashioned ass-kicking, wear something with a Hell's Angels logo on it.
Well, what if I have the ink and the vest?
Then I think they'd probably stab you and kill you.
Oh, so just the vest gets me beat up, vest ink gets me killed?
Wearing a vest with the Hell's Angels logo probably puts you in the hospital. Getting a tattoo, well, they would cut it off or burn it off.
Wait, do all 6,000 people know each other then? How would they know I'm not a Hell's Angel? I mean, look at me.
Well, there's secret. There's handshakes. There's signs. Like any gang,
There's not. It's all there's like chapters. So there'll be a Portland. So anyone in the Northwest would know you. And if you said, "Well, I'm a member from the Idaho chapter," chances are someone knows all the members there, or again is going to call and be like, "Who's this?" Yeah, it's a very connected network. They're not that many of them, and they know who they are. It's like even
so,
the Gypsy Joker guy
murderer?
Yeah, I may have known him.
Wait, who?
Yeah, they were the
who is this?
The president of the Gypsy Jokers a life sentence for murder.
Go watch his.
He likes the show.
Go watch his interrogation on YouTube. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah, he was.
So he's from here.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. He was the president of the Portland chapter.
Actually, he's an expert on how not to give up any information at interrogation. Yeah, he's a criminal, but you should do what he does in an interrogation if you are in that situation.
He was a listener of the program.
Mark Leroy.
Yes.
Yes.
Denclaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life in prison.
So one of the guys that they ended up murdering, he was a ex-member, and so they held him down and they black out his tattoo. So they just if you don't get to leave the clubs, and so if you do, that either gets cut off, burnt off, or they just scar it over. Yeah, that's not an organization that you just get to decide that you no longer want to be a part of. That's kind of like blood in, blood out sort of thing.
Man, I thought I was just going to put the logo on my golf bag and
away
I went.
You do, I know with the Hells Angels, you have to be a male. And a lot of them, you have to be a white male. So you got that going for you. You have to be able to ride a motorcycle, and specifically, you can't ride any other motorcycle than a Harley Davidson. And then you have to be nominated by one of the members. So you got to get in close and have someone be like, hey, this guy wants to be a member. And then you become a pledge. And then you got to do that for a while and basically become a lackey and do whatever. And then after that, then you become like a partial member, and then they patch you over, and then you get to wear all the cool gear.
What's the point?
What do you mean?
Well, what's the point? Like, what are we doing?
Well,
just right. I mean, why all this to ride bike motorcycles?
Well, see, there's a difference. Like, if you're at a regular motorcycle club, you're just a motorcycle enthusiast. If you are a Hell's Angels or a Bandito or an Outlaw Mongols, those are the guys that wear the 1% patches, and those are the actual, like, real motorcycle clubs. And then you're dealing with all the illegal stuff that goes along with it. And it's just, it's basically the 1% means that you are rejecting what 99% of the population embraces, which is rules, society, laws, all that. You're an outlaw. And you get to live by your own rules, your own code. You get to do what you want. And that's
so. If I see a biker jacket.
Yes.
And it doesn't have a 1% patch on it.
Yeah, for the most part, you're fine.
I feel pretty good about that.
Yes. Some of them can be affiliated. Like, there's like affiliate clubs that are like support members of different groups, but most of them will have a 1% patch. That the 1% is the letting you know, don't F with us. Otherwise, we don't have a problem stabbing you with a soldering iron. But yeah, for the most part, the bikers that you see, they're just guys that get together with their friends and on the weekends. And a lot of them like that image of the outlaw.
Well, yeah,
the
I can
outlaw.
See that, but to take it all the way to Hell's Angels,
you're committed.
You're basically... I don't know. I guess I don't see the upside, but okay. Okay. I guess you just don't.
You are. It is a full lifestyle.
Yeah.
You go full in.
You're violent. Yes. You have a penchant for violence. You like to, you know.
And they make money. I mean, yeah.
What do they do? Kind of mob stuff.
Depends on, like, certain gangs. It's sad that I know this. I'm fascinated by biker culture. But yeah, like, depending on which, like, the different gangs do different things. They specialize, but most of it is guns, drugs, human trafficking, racketeering, protection rackets, things like that.
There was a great...
It's the mob.
It was like a 9-piece documentary on the Hell's Angels on A&E, I think, earlier this year. You can watch it on Hulu.
So, like, if you're a Hell's Angel, stuff isn't optional. So when they go on a ride to, like, a rally, you can't not show up. Like, you have to be there. It's required. And it's not like if you don't show up, it's like, oh, no big deal. No, it's a big deal. And if you, if someone's on your territory and they decide to take action, again, you're going and there's going to be problems. I mean, it's a full on commitment. And it started with like old military guys.
I see where they sued Disney.
Yeah. Over the
copyright infringement.
Yeah.
In the movie Wild Hogs.
Yep. Well, the Hell's Angels logo is by far the most, and they're the most famous club, and it's the most recognizable logo. And yeah, for a while there, some people were trying to kind of commercialize it, and, you know, that's not a...
But they were the ones that the Rolling Stones hired for that concert that went...
It was at Altamont.
Yeah, they got a little wild.
Well, they hired them for security, and it turns out, not a great idea. That was in the documentary too, the Stones one. Is it Crossfire Hurricane? I think it was.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I guess I won't join.
I will tell you that, like, if you ever do encounter them, when I was in Florida, there was a bunch of those. The Mongols were the big group down in Tampa, and I had told this story, but I ended up buying them a round of drinks because I was terrified. I thought we were going to get murdered. We were at a bar, me and my buddy who played at LSU, and he was a very large African-American gentleman, and a very small gentleman bumped into him at the bar. My buddy was kind of like, you know, F you, get out of my way. That guy responded with a wonderful racial slur, and I was like, oh, like, this isn't going to end well. And then I saw the jacket, and then I saw the patch, and then I saw the 20 others that were in the bar, and at that point, I had to kind of grab my buddy and be like, we need to stop this. We need to leave. This isn't going to end well. This isn't going to be a fight. There's a reason why this guy's picking a fight with you. And so I got him to calm down, and then I bought that guy a drink, and then we bought everyone there the round of drink, and then we quietly left and walked outside. I had to explain to him that that was not the guy that you want to pick a fight with, that there would not have been a fight. Probably would have been a shooting or a stabbing. That was in Ybor City.
American hero, Jason Sakanik.
Same place. Those sons of guns gave me my jaywalking ticket. It's gosh darn ridiculous. I'm trying to defuse biker violence, and I'm getting jaywalking tickets.
Race Relations by Jason Sakanik.
Yeah, that was just, I didn't want to get race related with a knife in my neck. And yeah, it's kind of scary.
I feel like with you, they'd have thrown a jacket on you and said, come here, big fella. Look at you. You belong with us.
Come on board.
Yeah, you fit our description. We'll give you a chance.
I just have a healthy respect for those people because they don't care. So, and you never mess with a group of people that don't mind going to prison.
All right. Well, let's learn about dry drowning.
Yes.
You want to learn about that?
To another happy subject.
Yes, very happy topic.
Yes.
Coming up next, what is it to dry drown? That's next on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
You know, I always felt I could be a great salesman. Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue is brought to you by Bub Beer, the official beer of Jeep Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Now, I did forget to mention, Rob, before you join the Hells Angels, like just to become like a prospect, like a hang around, you do have to get your ass kicked. They jump you into a fight so that you prove that you're like tough enough to hang around. So
what if I kick a bunch of ass?
Then I think then you get to be a hang around and then a prospect.
Well, you said I get my ass kicked.
Well, yeah, they jump you. So
it's, what if I kick all their asses?
Then I think then you probably get bumped up the chain. So just be aware of that.
You know what? I'm out on the Hells Angels. Healthy respect there. Yeah. I was thinking...
someone did ask, though, scarier group to deal with, Hells Angels or the Primitive Tribes?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's tough.
And that got me thinking about, well, let's add in, like, the Mexican drug cartels.
Ah, yeah.
Add in, like, Christian moms.
Karens.
You know?
Yeah. Try being at a Starbucks and having a Karen be upset.
That's right.
It's not going to go good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who I want to mess with least.
Boy.
Probably those tribes. Like, dude, you're dead. You show up to the tribe, to the beach where the tribe lives,
yeah,
they're going to
no,
shoot. I mean,
yeah, look,
you can't even rationalize with
no,
them.
No, and that's why, like, to me, that's the scariest. Because, like, I've always said the Mexican mob is maybe my most terrifying thing on earth.
The drug cartels?
The drug cartels. Like, running afoul of one of them, I can't. If you have seen the video of the people, it's a gay couple, two dudes. And they're on the road and the cartel pulls them over.
I think I've seen this, yeah.
And by the way, the cartel, super nice. Like,
what?
Well, like, so they're driving in Mexico, I forget where, and they're in like in a Jeep and they end up
I have seen that.
On a dirt road somewhere.
Yeah.
And
they're terrified. They
and absolutely. Like they're lost. They don't know where they're going. They're trying to get back to the highway. And next thing they know, like there's like a car behind them and they got guns and the two dudes are absolutely terrified, and obviously they've driven somewhere, probably around either a base or a drug field or whatever. They're not supposed to be there. The cartel pulls up, gets out of the car, and they're filmed. They got the little dash cam or whatever, and it is the most heart racing thing. These two guys they're begging for their life, and the cartel guy in broken English, they're like, no, it's. they're very calm. Once they find out they're just tourists, and they get them back on the road, and you know they're like, you need to leave, and they send them on their way. At least with the cartel, right? You've got a chance that maybe you're like,
they
hey, let me explain whatever. It's just they don't want to answer questions about dead tourists or whatever. Same thing with the Hells Angels. I'm assuming that you can try to have a rational conversation with them. You're not having a rational conversation with the tribe.
No,
the tribe is by far.
It's by far the worst.
Yeah,
but on the cartel thing, that whole video, I remember that video now. I had to pull it up and I saw the two guys. I'm like, oh yeah, I have watched that.
Yeah,
and it is terrifying.
Oh god, yeah.
And I totally get where they're coming from.
Yeah,
and they're bawling and like just begging. But that's confusing because you do see stories where drug cartels just random tourists and they kill them. So some of them they let go, some of them they kill. Some of them they're nice to.
It probably depends cartel to cartel, where you're at, who you're dealing with, if this is the cartel having a bad day.
Well, I'm confused.
You know? Well, I don't think there's a universal I see you, I kill you sort of thing, but I think that the bottom line is we're dealing with three groups of people that all don't care if they kill you or not. And like, that's the scary thing. Like, the only one that I've ever dealt with, like I said, is I had my little, I guess, run-in with the Mongols down in Florida. And I'm telling you, like, I was 320 pounds. I can handle myself in a fight. My buddy was bigger than me. My buddy was way scary. Dude, he was a giant defensive tackle. And, dude, I wouldn't want to mess with that guy. But in that moment, I'm telling you, I was so scared. Because you know that no matter what you do, that doesn't end well for you. Like, it's just, there's no way out of it other than to try to talk your way out. And I don't care how tough of a badass you think you are. I refuse to believe in any of those situations that anyone isn't just crapping their pants. But at least with the one, there's an idea that you could talk your way out of it. But that tribe cares about nothing other than you're in their area and in that world,
you're dead.
The primitive world. We see you, we kill you.
But with the angels, at least, I mean, they're a little bit more buttoned up, right? Like, they're not just killing people.
No, they're not indiscriminately killing
people. Yeah, like the cartels are.
Yes.
And don't give a rip. So there's no government. Hell's Angels, they're not like...
No. They kill someone in a bar, they beat someone up in a bar, there's going to be repercussions, and they're not going to do it unless, you know, there's...
Exactly.
There's reason. Although, there's a great one about, it's a casino, I think it's in Reno. And I want to say it was between the Outlaws and the Hell's Angels. They just shot the casino up.
Yeah, they did.
There had been some back and forth, and the Hell's Angels just decided, and they got everyone. They're like, hey, we're going there, and we don't care. And they all showed up, and they just walked in, and it was just on. Shooting, stabbing, it was a whole thing. And in camera, I mean, think of a casino. There's it's all on video. And they just were like, yeah, hey. Yeah, someone disrespected us, so it's go time.
Oh, I'm willing to go to prison because someone disrespected me. I will never get that sentiment.
That's why you're not a Hell's Angel.
No, I am not. And they honestly probably can't explain it either.
Well, and that's what
I do find that odd. What is that? Is that just a...
It's a mentality, man.
It's a sickness, is what it is.
Yeah, it's like you're just brought up so broken that...
Yeah, your environment was so violent.
Yeah, it's just
just don't care.
Nope, it's just it's a code. Like, and that's the thing, when the idea of like to even get to hang around a group of people for several years and do whatever they want, when the idea is that we're just going to kick your ass and if you take it well enough, now you get to hang around us. Just when you start down that road, I'm sure no one's thinking to themselves, you know, I got this opportunity to go to law school, but you know what I'd really like to do? Hang around a biker gang for a couple years until they decide to maybe let me in. You find disenfranchised people, and
it's kind of how you get a radio show.
There you go.
Just hang around a radio station until you get a show.
We're all very broken.
The same
way. So it's right there. Toxic masculinity at its finest.
That's true.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, that's...
I guess.
Yeah. Well, and again, it started with the biker gangs were all people coming back from World War II. That's how biker gangs started.
Yeah.
And it was people that couldn't find jobs, that felt disenfranchised, that felt like America had nothing to offer them, and they wanted that brotherhood that you had out on the battlefield. So they came back, started gangs and motorcycle clubs, and it kind of went from there.
Okay, let's talk about dry drowning. We got to do it next. Here's Schulte.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, now to dry drowning.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it does. You tell me if you think this is a better way to go or not. You know you're going to die.
Yeah.
Probably.
Sure.
It's like the idea of the people in the Titanic sub, you know?
Or like the people in the towers of 9/11, like jumping out of the building.
Right.
Like, you know you're going to go.
You know you're going to go. How do you want to do it?
Right.
Initial autopsies of four of the seven victims who died when a super yacht sank in a storm in Italy last month showed that they died of dry drowning. This is a phenomenon also known as atypical drowning. It means they had no water in their lungs, trachea, or stomachs. There is no medically accepted dry drowning condition. That or other terms such as secondary drowning or delayed drowning are sometimes used to describe patients whose condition worsened after a drowning rescue or who had very little water in their lungs. The American Red Cross and other heart organizations have recommended against using this term. People may experience health impacts after being in water, but it's not the same as drowning. So, in this instance, the cause of death of the first four victims suggests that they had found an air bubble in the cabin in which five of the victims' bodies were discovered and had discovered that all oxygen had been consumed before the air pocket turned toxic due to carbon dioxide.
So they
didn't really drown. They had an air pocket, were trying to survive,
and ran out.
And ran out of air. And then at that point, do you...
You just pass
drown,
out.
You just pass out.
You pass out, and then you would go down, and then
so you pass out, and then you drown.
Yeah,
which is why it's dry drowning.
You stop breathing because this is how they tell, like, if a body drowned or if it was if you were dead before. So when they do the body, when they pull you out of the water, if you have water in your lungs, then you were still breathing, right? You would, you would take it in. But if you were dead and not breathing before, so that must have meant they were, like, they had something, they were holding on to something, they were strapped up, and they just...
They found an air pocket and were trying to survive and ran out of, you know, they sucked down all the air and... That was it, which might be a better way.
I kind of think that because I get conflicting reports because I've always thought if I had
from the deads?
What?
From the deads?
No, it's like internet. Because I've always thought if I'm going to go, right? I always thought that my way, if I knew I was done, like I had like, you know, massive pancreatic cancer, you know, whatever, I would go rent a big cabin cruiser and spend all day out on the water and then just, you know, off I go. But I've heard that some people say that it's a horrible, because I would think that you just swallow some water, you pass out, and down you go. But I've heard from some people say that there's like it like burns when you swallow water, and that you freak out and you can't help it, and it's actually a really violent, awful way to go. So I don't know. I've not gotten a definitive answer on how bad drowning is, because I would think to me it was actually one of the easier, better ways to go. But I don't know if it's
like car toys.
It is the drowning.
Thank you.
Of car toys.
I'll never forget. This was, I think, in the newer version of the Poseidon Adventure with Kurt Russell, where he played the captain or the assistant or whatever. But the drowning scene that he basically acts out, I mean, that was one of the most traumatic things that I think I've ever seen. And that was acting.
But they say all the, like, you say the swimmer guy, they say that people drown in pools 5 feet away from people.
Yeah.
Because it's not a big violent, you know, like, oh my God, like it can be quite quiet.
So that's all acting. Okay.
I think you swallow water and you go under.
Yikes.
But that doesn't mean it's not terrifying when you're under.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not like every single person. There are some that will maybe make a violent movement or two, or you'll see that happening, but not with everybody. Okay.
Here's a doctor who says running out of oxygen by itself is painless and humane.
Oh, well, there you go. Because that's like...
Falling asleep?
Well, that was like the Payne Stewart, the people on the plane, like when
hypoxia.
The oxygen gets so level, you get sleepy and then you just kind of,
but
you know.
He then says, getting smothered by the accumulation of carbon dioxide is hellacious.
Damn it. What about drowning? Can someone, doctor, bro, I need a definitive answer. If I go in and I don't fight it and I just open up the mouth and I'm like, just take it in and I'm not fighting it, down I go. Is that peaceful? And I just sink to the abyss, or does the body react and it's like, no, try to violently heave it out and it's this awful sort of thing? Because I've yet to get a definitive answer on that. The doctor might know.
Well, it's probably terrifying because we do have one little piece of evidence, and that is waterboarding.
Yeah. That's how
people
lose their ass.
Yes. People go crazy.
I don't like it.
And that's where they give you the sensation of drowning.
Yes. Which is why I've had to redo my plan for the cabin cruiser is I'm just going to do a lot of drugs and then wait for me to kind of get sleepy and pass out. Then I go on.
Well, this says all seven victims were scanned for other injuries. There were none. No broken bones or other physical injuries
that passed.
Might have contributed to their deaths.
Dare I say, just not knowing anything right now, I think I would take the dry drowning.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to stay alive, which means the drowning would have been violent. They would not have easily succumbed to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, that feeling, have you ever been that where you're in a pool and, like, someone's dumbass, like, takes their inflatable unicorn and, like, it gets above your head and then you feel trapped? Or some of your older brothers holding you down? Like, that brief moment, like, where you can't surf, it's, like, the worst feeling in the world. And now imagine that, but knowing that there is no way up. Like, the dry drowning. You got to take the dry drowning.
Yeah, because at least you have hope.
Yes.
Right until the end.
Yeah, and then it sounds like maybe as long as it's not carbon dioxide that you just...
But it was carbon dioxide.
Oh, yeah, that's what the doc says.
Because when the oxygen's gone, it's... I mean...
It's a tough call. Can I just say that...
That's rough.
Being stuck, like that was like the Pearl Harbor guys, like where they're banging on the sub and there's no one... Like, that's just... Ugh. I don't know. There's just none of these things are good ways to go.
I think the lesson here is don't buy a yacht.
Yes. The Titanic sub, I contend, is still the best. Like, that's...
Still the best?
Yeah.
Best what?
You didn't suffer. Like, you may have had some fear knowing that it was going wrong, but the moment that hole started cracking, you're just done. Like, that one was better than this.
I don't know that we know that.
Bottom line, they're ass.
Yeah, we don't know... It could have been great. It could have been awful.
Yeah, it might have been awful down there, dude.
Could have been like a half an hour of just slowly, darkly sinking to the bottom, well, knowing what your fate is.
That's where the lawsuit came. Obviously, the families are suing. And one of the things in there was they knew they were going to die because they could feel and hear the cracks in the...
Yeah, but that's it. That's only fear. That's not physical pain.
Not yet.
Once the hole breached, it crushed you and imploded, you were done. This... Either way is just is like moments or minutes of absolute pain, agony. The other one was anything that's quick, I gotta think, is a better way to go.
Like car toys.
Yeah. Well, like getting choked out, I know, like you don't even realize it's happening. Like, it's just so quick. And then obviously, like, you know, you get revived, someone wakes you up, but like, you don't... I've been choked unconscious and I don't even realize. Like, you wake up thinking that you didn't. You're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, dude, you went unconscious. Like, no, I didn't. It's so quick. Your head buzzes for like half a count. Like, you feel like a little bzzz, and then you're out. So like, if that happened and like just someone kept squeezing and you never woke up, it's super painless. Like, that would, like, so there are ways. So whatever way gets me unconscious the fastest, that's the one I want. Because then you're not, you know.
No, but we don't really know.
No. And that's the crappy part.
It's the hard part.
I need a doc to give me a definitive list on ways. If I'm going to go, this is the way to go.
Hey, would you, that's not a very good question.
Someone said, I love this show for the Friday uplift.
You're welcome. I do too.
Well, look, God forbid you have to deal with this sometime. I do feel like if I came to that point, I feel like I would be okay making the choice. I would rather choose it on my own than fall to circumstance.
What if you could? What if you were a guinea pig and they could simulate ways to die, but you would feel no physical pain, but you would... find out what it's like?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Would you sign up for that?
I would. I'd be fascinated. Like, I couldn't help myself. Even if it was, like, a traumatic thing, like, and obviously it would be uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. To know what that's like, you're never going to find that out, except for the one time where you, you know, there ain't no coming back from that. Yeah, I think I would. That stuff always fascinated me. It's like people that have, like, the near-death experiences, I'm always interested in that. Because, you know, they... You know, we all face it at one point, but...
See the light.
They got to face it, and then, you know... Well, that's the weird thing. Like I said, I've read a bunch of stuff on this. They say that after you die, your brain stays awake for, it's like... I want to say it's like 9 to 11 minutes. So the idea of, like, when you die, and your life flashes before your head or whatever, they said, like, all that stuff, your brain is still working. You're
still in there thinking about the game.
Yeah, you're dead, and your brain is like, hey...
I win that Eagles bet?
We're having some dreams. We're going to throw some stuff at you. And if you were aware of that you were dying, I'm assuming that that's on the old noggin there for that time that you're out. And so it makes sense that you would see some stuff. You want to talk about the trippiest trip of all time. You know, those people that go down for 7 minutes and then get revived.
Yeah, wild. All right, let's take a look at Saturn next on The Fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Double Sun Power!
Well, to wrap it up tonight, let's talk about something fun.
Yeah, thank God.
Stargazing.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't enjoy that?
Yeah. Well, apparently Saturn, you know, the one with the rings,
mm-hmm.
the planet.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
It's going to be at its biggest and brightest on Sunday.
So can I see anything other than just a weird, distant dot?
Well, they say that you want to use either a telescope or binoculars. But if you can get where you can, you know, get a shot of it, you will see the rings.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of kick-ass.
Yeah.
Can't say I've ever done that, and I'm not going to do it this time, because I don't own binoculars, and I don't own a telescope. But that's pretty cool. I'll, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be another year before this happens again, obviously.
Yeah.
Astronomers say conditions are shaping up to be ideal. The moon will be a waxing crescent on the night of September 7th and set around 10 p.m., offering enhanced clarity. If you want to pinpoint the exact position of Saturn, you can use amateur stargazing apps such as Night Sky or Stellarium.
I have that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Every now and then.
You can pop that open.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because you can just scan it and it'll tell you. I'm not very good at figuring out what's what. You know, outside of the dippers.
Yeah, the dippers are easy.
Yeah, the dippers are pretty easy. Outside of that, man, I got bupkis.
Can you find the North Star?
Nah, I'm terrible. But the little app is kind of cool because you can just take it across the sky. Sometimes when I'm in the backyard or go up on my roof on clear nights, it's kind of fun to see what's what.
So you will be able to see Saturn from Sunday, September 8th to Tuesday, September 10th in the early morning. Your best chance to see it is, well, they've got the coordinates on here,
yeah.
Facing south. Viewing Saturn with the naked eye is not recommended.
Why is that?
Without gear, planets appear as bright light in the dark sky. To see its rings, experts encourage using a backyard telescope or a pair of stargazing binoculars.
Oh, like I said, you gotta have specific binoculars. I can't head down to the duck game and then just glance up with my sweet stadium binoculars.
Here are the top tips. Head somewhere high.
Makes sense.
Don't get high.
Yeah.
Well, maybe get high.
No offense, but most of the time that I'm looking at the stars, look, you got a good idea of what I'm
doing.
Not like I'm just in my yard randomly and I think, hey, let's go check out the sky.
You are either on some intoxicants or whispering sweet nothings into a lady's ear, or both.
Avoid light pollution, bring binoculars, wrap up warm, bring a snack. Sit down in the dark for at least a half hour to let your eyes adjust.
I got to bring out my Snuggie.
And have a star spotter guide and a compass.
Star spotter guide.
Like, what? Boy, this seems like a lot. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot.
This is why anytime, like, I'm terrible.
But look, Saturn's pretty cool.
It is, but I do the, you know, with the eclipses and all that. Anytime there's like, oh, you should go out, I never do. Ever.
Well, the eclipse is cool because you didn't have, I mean, all you had to do is step out your
I know, and I'm telling
back
you,
door. You didn't?
I know, I don't.
Oh, I did. I remember I was sitting out
I
on the back
I always forget.
Deck.
Like, it was pretty
trippy, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was cool.
The last time I remember we were up at Mount Hood, we were staying at one of the resorts up there, and we happened to be outside, and there was a kick-ass meteor shower. And we're like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that, and it was really cool. But again, it just, I have to be outside. And then just like by happenstance, be like, oh yeah, it's on that day. But anyone's like, hey, you got to wake up at 2:30 in the morning, look this way, have. I'm like, yeah, I got other things to do.
Yeah, if I
got to
wake up at 2 or 3 or some ungodly hour, yeah, no, right out on that.
I need my natural phenomenon to happen naturally. You know, I don't need to force it. I figure, like, if you're out and about, isn't it more amazing when you just stumble across stuff as opposed to, like, I don't know, but like my daughter with the she drove the Northern Lights one. She drove to Longview at like 1 in the morning.
Did she see him?
Yeah, she did. She said it wasn't like, she said it would look way cooler on her phone because obviously she captures the light, and you know, and so she said it was cool, and I was like, was it driving to Longview in the middle of the night cool? And she was like, I guess, what else are you doing? I just, You're not getting me into a car to drive to Longview to stare
really
at the
ever. Lights.
Well, no, unless I'm trying.
I mean,
to
why would you go to Longview?
Meth, but you know.
My dentist used to be in Longview. I can't believe I drove all the way up there.
Did you really?
Yeah. What was I doing?
I don't know.
A dentist in Longview.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Well, again, the meth, it probably goes hand in hand.
No, but they don't want that. There's they just keep spending their money on meth.
There's a need for dentistry out there.
That's true.
Yeah. Believe it. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be where Dr. Dixon, Dennis the Star, started his dental empire.
Well, that's probably why.
That's probably why, yeah.
He was up there.
Yeah, yeah.
One and then he retired.
Then he retired.
And I'm like, why am I going to freaking Longview? It's like 45 minutes.
I know. There's really no reason to ever be in Longview. No offense to anyone that lives in Longview. Yeah. It's just not necessarily the place that I... maybe the Three Rivers Mall? You want to check that out?
There's a mall there?
Yeah, the Three Rivers Mall.
I've not been there for
so long.
How
do you even know that? Who even knows that?
I do. Used to drive through there sometimes on our way to camp and do outdoor fun.
You do knew that.
And on our way back, we used to camp up at Mayfield. On our way back, it was a tradition to stop at the Kelso Longview Izzy's.
Love me some Izzy's.
The Izzy's. My kids, when they were little, I think that might have been their favorite part of camping. Was on the way back, we got to stop at Izzy's. Dude, my kids thought Izzy's was the balls.
You cannot disparage Izzy's. That pizza buffet with the salad, oh, and then the ice cream after. Got some cinnamon roll action. Let's go.
I don't think that they're even...
No, they're gone. Yeah, they're long gone.
Yeah.
Just nice nostalgia.
Yeah, I've only heard of Izzy's. I never got to eat there. It was a Northwest thing.
Yeah, it was Northwest. Yeah.
For us, it was Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
It was either Pizza Hut or Godfather's.
Yeah. Izzy's was an elevated... Pizza Hut buffet.
I miss the Pizza Hut buffet. There's none of those either.
Oh, yeah.
Izzy's had those like Mojo potato things. Oh
yes,
my God.
Yes, the circles.
God bless America. Dude, you want to talk about meth? I think there was meth sprinkled in those things. Those are so freaking good.
So good. Where is it?
Right
I
next
don't
to
know.
The fried chicken. Well, buffets just kind of went out of style. Yeah.
I don't know. Look, if there was an Izzy's open, I'd go there right now.
I mean, ditto. I'd have dinner with you right now there.
Sorry, guys. They're closed.
Yeah. Instead, I'm going to Jerry's to get some wings and watch the Packers.
Permanently.
Go get
hey,
some
it looks
Miller
like a pretty good game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty good little ball game there.
Yeah, I think it's what, like 19-17, something like that at the half?
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Hey, everybody have a great weekend. We're back Monday, 3 to 7 of Fake Night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.